Now, I want to tell you something, and it's not in my notes at all, and the Lord's been prompting me about the whole area of prophecy. You know, we are a church, we are a charismatic church. You may not see that often. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe it's an important part of a Christian walk. Now, if you don't speak in tongues, we don't think any less of you, all right? But we do believe it's something that's available for every believer. And you can go after it. It's one of the promises that we're going to talk about that a little bit later. It's available to you. So again, we don't think any less of anyone. We just encourage you to seek it because we believe it's available for every believer. Now, along with tongues or other things, for example, prophecy, which you heard this morning. Now, you know, Mary shared, and that was a prophecy. A prophetic word is a word that's given by the Spirit to, in a sense, talk about what God is saying and what He's thinking and what His plans are. And when Robin read from the Scriptures and just was sharing here again, that's prophetic in nature. In other words, it's God speaking through an individual, through their character and nature, but speaking the word of truth, a time in season. But here's what I want to say to you before I move on, is this. That's not just for church. That's for your walk. That's for when you're out in the world and you're at your job and you don't know what to do. And you could say, Jesus, I need your help. And He could speak to you and bring that quickening to your spirit so you know what to do in a given situation. And it might be contrary to what you think you should do. That's God probably. You get what I'm saying? Because you want to do what you want to do. So if you're hearing a different voice, it's probably Jesus. Especially if it lines up with the Word. Amen? And so you need to begin to come to a place of surrendering to that Spirit on the inside, the Holy Spirit. He loves you so much. But here's the thing, if we get tunnel vision, if we're like that racehorse with the blinders on and we're just running to do our own thing, can I tell you, Jesus will not interrupt you. He will not. He won't trip you up. He won't do that. You have to be open to His voice, to that prophetic voice. You are, according to Scripture, a prophetic people. Not a pathetic people, a prophetic people. And there's a difference, all right? Like, come on now. You need to remind yourself about that. Because the enemy would tell you, you are pathetic. Trusting in something you can't see. That's pathetic. No! You're trusting in the unseen, which is more real than the seen. That's what Scripture says. You are a prophetic people. You know, people that have chosen by God to hear from Him and to act upon His word and His voice. Amen? So don't settle for what the rest of the world does. The rest of the world just goes by their feelings and their emotions and what the latest infomercial is feeding them. You know what I'm saying? But what you need to do is come to a place of walking by the Spirit of God. And your life will be never the same again. Now, it's going to take you places. The Lord will take you places you never imagined. I live in a different country than I was born in. Why? Because of the voice of Jesus. Now, I don't pray any of you leave to go to a different country. I'd like you to stay here. But my point is that God is in the business of talking to His people. That's what He does. That's what He wants to do on a regular basis. The question is, are you tuned into Him? You see, if you already have a mandate for the rest of the day, let me give you an example. Today's Sunday. Most of you probably have plans already. You figure out where you're going to eat, what you're going to do, what you're going to do in the afternoon, in the evening. You got a plan. Is there anything wrong with having a plan? There's nothing wrong with having a plan. Every diligent believer should have a plan for their lives. But what if you hear a still small voice saying, I don't want you to do that. I want you to do this instead. What are you going to do about that? Well, Jesus, that doesn't fit into my schedule. I'm sorry, but we'll have to schedule that for tomorrow. Is that what you're going to do? Now, you might not say it quite like that, but by ignoring Him and just doing what you're going to do is saying the same thing. What are you saying? Jesus, you're not really important. You're not as important as my importance. You know what I've learned? That when we put Him first, everything else goes into order. It's the most amazing, amazing, amazing thing. We've been talking about the promises of God. In fact, you've heard a lot of songs about it. Last week, we talked about embracing the promise of the promises. And the idea is that you as a believer have access to those promises. How? Robin said it the best anybody could say it. Because of Jesus. Ephesians 3:12 says this, in Christ and through faith in Him, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. In other words, that is your access point to God, but also it's your access point to His promises. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says this, all of the promises of God are yes and amen. In who? In Jesus. It's all through Christ is that you have these promises. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I had this incredible, I thought it was incredible, awesome sermon all prepared for you. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it in its entirety. We're going to go to the meat of the matter for today. So if you want to hear more of the sermon of what it was supposed to be like, you can get the CD from the early service, because that's not what's going to happen at this service, all right? Now, having said that, we are going to have a few things to talk about that are connected. We're going to talk about a man for a few minutes by the name of Joshua. Joshua's name in itself means God is my salvation. Pretty amazing, actually. And so Joshua is a great example for us of a man of God that was pursuing God with all of his heart. Now, he's in the Old Testament. You might say, well, hold it. We're a New Testament church. We believe in the New Testament. You know, the Old is there and it's got a lot of stories in it. But you need to understand that the Old Testament is very vital and important for us. You know, the Bible speaks of this, that the Old Testament is a foreshadowing or a shadow of the New Testament, and referring in a sense specifically to Christ. As we look at the New Testament, we see a living Lord walking on the earth. We see him perform all the miracles and do all the signs and wonders that he did through the Gospels. And then we have the epistles, which are letters after his death and resurrection, that basically explain what he did while he walked on the earth. So we actually have a flesh and blood Jesus. We have him standing there. That if the sun was shining on him, he would cast a shadow, so to speak. And so what we have when we look at the Old Testament, the Bible talks about it being a shadow of what is to come. In other words, there is still good things there. In other words, if Jesus was standing here right now and this light shining, there's a shadow behind. You could see the outline. You can see how he looks and who he is. Well, in a sense, the Old Testament does that for us. How? Through real life natural stories of events that happen. Now, for us as New Testament believers, what we need to do is take that Old Testament information and digest it and see it in a spiritual context. In other words, how does this apply to me today? How does this apply to my relationship, to my finances, to my husband, to my wife, to my job, all of those things? And to take it and digest it and see what it means to you today as a believer. And so the Bible is full of these incredible accounts of how God moved in the past to help you and I move today in the Spirit. So you hear what I'm saying? This is really important. So when you read the Old Testament, I know some people, they have trouble getting over all the carnage. You know, these people died and these people were wiped out. Listen, see the bigger picture of the spiritual side of it. When God told Joshua to go into the promised land, to go and possess it, and those seven enemies were there, they were actually people groups. They were there. And what did God say? He said, destroy them. You might say, hold it. God's saying wipe out these people. Listen, they were given notice to move. They were given notice. All right? When you look at Scripture, you will never see any of God's people, when they were directed by God, go out and just kill people just for the purpose of killing people. You'll never see it. It was only when they got in the way of what God had called them to do. And they were given notice. It wasn't like they were forced to be there. They were given notice. That was known as the land of Canaan, the promised land. Everybody knew it. And so they were actually squatters, in a sense, there. Now, for you and I, we're not called to go and kill anybody as New Testament believers. But we are called to go and defeat the enemies in our promised land. And so Joshua is the man of the hour. Now, I wanted to go. I'll tell you what my heart was. I wanted to get into the seven enemies. And I wanted to dissect them and pull them all apart and say, this is how we deal with these people. But we're not there yet. Here's why. What you and I need to talk about is the preparation to defeat our enemies. You see, unless your heart's right, you're defeated before you even start. And so I want to take you to the Scriptures. And again, if you want this a bigger picture of what we're going to talk about, get the early version, all right? So I'm going to go right to the heart of the matter, and you need to go to Joshua chapter 5. And this is where we're going to camp today for just a few minutes before we pray. Now, in Joshua chapter 5, Joshua had come to a place where he's checking out the land. So the first place he comes to, he's by himself, and he comes to Jericho. That's the first walled city within the lines of the promised land. Now, Jericho was no joke. This was a double-walled city. It was on a hill. And in fact, when you read about it, when they do take Jericho, it says they would have to go up on it. Well, literally, they had to climb to get up to get to Jericho. So there was two walls. Now the reason why these places built two walls around, if you happened to make it through the first wall, guess what? Between the first and second wall is called the kill zone. So archers could stand on the second wall and just take you out, just like that. So in other words, this place was well fortified. In the natural, there was no hope of defeating Jericho. No hope whatsoever. Yet with God, all things are possible, aren't they? With God, all things are possible for you as well. And so we pick up the story in Joshua 5, verse 13. It says this, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho," so he's there by himself, "he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand." Now let's just stop there for a minute. It says he lifted up his eyes. Do you know what Joshua was doing? What do you think he might have been doing? Praying. Seeking God. Saying, "God, what am I going to do? You've called me to conquer this land. You said be strong and of great courage. And yet, I don't know how to do this. What am I to do?" Can I tell you that most of us have a predisposed mindset on how we want to defeat things in our lives? We do. And I'll talk about that more in a couple of minutes. All right. So we got this guy. Now, in my Bible, when it says a man, it's capital M. And his sword, capital H. Now, if you've read your Bible any length of time, what do capitals of pronouns usually represent? God in some way, right? So you might say, okay, well, what's this all about? So let's just read this and then we'll come back. "And Joshua went to him and said, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?'" Now, I got to give Josh credit. This guy's got a drawn sword. And Joshua still goes up to him and says, "Are you for me or for my adversaries?" Now, can I tell you, that takes a lot of guts. He's all by himself. You get what I'm saying? Sees this amazing individual with a drawn sword ready to fight, and he just walks right up. You know why he had such confidence? Because God had called him to be at that place at that time. You see, if your confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ, you could be in the midst of a firefight. You could be in the midst of a war. You could be in the midst of whatever. You and Jesus make a majority. In other words, you don't have to be afraid any longer. See, the issue that you and I have is this, that we look to the mountains of fear rather than to the mountain of faith. See, if you fix your eyes on the thing that fears you, then you will become fearful. It's just what happened. But if you fix your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith, as it says in the book of Hebrews, who is Jesus, by the way, then you will be strong. Why? Because you recognize that he's in you and abides in you and will always be there. So when you have Jesus, you are a majority. It doesn't matter how many of the enemy there are. You see, the enemy that they were facing, the first enemy, and I will tell you this today, is the Hittites. The Hittites were ones, they lived in Jericho and they lived in the surrounding area. The Hittites, their name actually means terror or fear. So this was a formidable group of people. They had, in fact, you can look up historically, they had had battles with the Assyrians, they had had battles with the Babylonians, and they had had battles with the Egyptians and won against all three. You don't mess with these guys. They were serious, serious people. And so they're called, God had called Joshua to go to the promised land, and guess what group he was to face first? The Hittites. Fear. You're going to face fear first. Can I tell you that when you are going to cross and going in to enter into your promised land, the first thing you're going to face is fear. Now that fear comes in all kinds of forms. Fear of failure. Fear that you're not able. Fear that someone else is going to hurt you. Fear that what you did last time and it didn't work will happen again to you. You know, the fears just keep coming up and coming up and coming, pushing against you. Now the joke about it is that it was already coming against Joshua and the children of Israel even before they got into the promised land. Isn't it sad that the enemy doesn't play fair? In other words, he doesn't even let you kind of see the promise and then fear comes. Even before you get near it, fear is approaching you. You hear what I'm saying? And you have to make a decision to not let a spirit of fear control your life any longer. See, that's how the world lives. But you're a spiritual people. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have help. You're not alone anymore. Yusuf, I need you. Come on up here for a minute. I love Yusuf. He's a giant. You know what I'm saying? Now, to be quite honest with you, it makes me feel pretty small to stand beside Yusuf. But here's the thing. When I just, you're going to be used, I promise. Just hang there for a minute. When I look in the mirror every morning, I say, what a handsome devil. I don't really. I look in the mirror and I take an honest assessment and sometimes I just shake my head. I'm just going to be honest. I'm like, oh man. But here's what I remind myself as I'm looking in that mirror. I'm not by myself anymore. Jesus lives in me. And the victories I got yesterday and the day before, I'm going to have more of those today as I trust the same Jesus that was with me yesterday and the day before. So I kind of pick myself up by my trousers, so to speak. Man, I can do this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as I walk through even today, as I stand before you, I want to tell you something. I don't see myself as just by myself. See, Jesus is with me. And he's with me. So you follow me all everywhere I go. So here's the thing. So I walk up to Kevin, and maybe I got a problem with Kevin, or Kevin's got a problem with me, and maybe Kevin wants to hurt me. Maybe, I don't think he wants to. But maybe he does, alright? And so Kevin's thinking all these thoughts, and maybe he's even said some things to me, and a little bit of fear starts to creep in. You know what I remind myself of? Hold it. If I'm doing God's will, Jesus is with me. So if Kevin's got a problem with me, he's got a problem with Jesus. you see what I'm saying? In other words, doesn't that change things a little bit? It's kind of like having the bully come to you at school and you've got that older person that's right there and the bully starts talking to you and then that other person comes up and says, hey, you got a problem with him? No, and the bully backs away. That's literally how you need to see your life in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So listen, you need to see yourself that way. You're not alone anymore. Come on. You need to remind yourself of that. Because if you don't, you're going to feel afraid. You're going to see that mountain of fear, and it's going to be a big mountain in front of you. And you're going to face it, and you're going to say, man, I can't do this. And you're going to turn and walk away from it again. Again. We'll talk about this maybe another week. But Joshua had already been to right where he was standing once before, 37 years before. But because of fear of the rest of the people, he had to turn away. Not his fear. But because of the rest of the people, they said, we can't do it. And as a result of that, God said, okay, that generation won't be able to enter into the promised land. So only Joshua and Caleb, 37 years later. Can I tell you something else? You may not want to hear this. God's not afraid to wait for you. I'm going to be totally honest. 37 years for God is just nothing. It's nothing in time. So it really rests on you how quickly you want to enter into your promises. God, wait. Because unbelief will not allow you to enter in. Faith will. So the question is, do you have more faith than fear? Because that's really what it comes down to. And so if you want to have more faith than fear, you have to begin to look to the one who gives faith. Amen? So let's look back at this. Let me show you how you can grow in faith. See, Joshua had a life lesson to learn. Before he could conquer Jericho and move forward with the armies of Israel, he had to come to a certain point in his life. And it's a point where you and I have to come to as well. So let's go back to our account here in Joshua 5. So basically, here, let's finish with this, the end of verse 13. Joshua said to him, the guy who had the drawn sword, are you for us or for our adversary? Now let's talk about this guy for a minute. Let's wait. Let's finish reading it. Verse 14. So he said, no, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, capital H, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for this place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. You know, so often when we read the birth story of Jesus, you know, the whole Bethlehem thing and how he grew up and then became a man and then gave his life on the cross. We get the idea that that was the life of Jesus. No, it was a small portion of the life of Jesus. Jesus has always existed. He was there in the beginning. In fact, if we go to the Gospel of John, we can see in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we go on a little later, and it says this, that the Word was Jesus. And then we go a little further on, and it says that nothing was created without Jesus. And so Jesus has always existed. He just came in the form of a little baby to come and live as a man on this earth. But he always was. And so for me, it can be a little bit confusing, this whole thing. Well, hold it. Do we worship three gods? You know, what is all this about? Well, here's the thing. Just as you and I have three parts, a spirit, soul, and body, and we were created in the image and likeness of God, God has three parts as well. One God with three parts. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I've wrestled with this over the years to try to kind of understand it, to piece it all together. So here's the best that I can give you that helped me. At creation, God the Father thought about creation, how he was going to do it. Jesus the Son spoke the word that was thought. And God the Holy Spirit acted upon that word and creation happened. All three in one, working in perfect harmony. Three different distinct parts, but working together. We serve and worship one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus, in the Gospel of John, I believe in chapter 14 or 16, he says this. He's speaking, he says, we, referring to Father and the Son, we will come and dwell in you. And we know elsewhere it says the Holy Spirit lives in us. So when you have Jesus in your heart, you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you've got God the Father in your heart. You have the whole thing. Amen? So you need to understand this, that when you're facing your enemy, the creator of the universe abides in you. I don't know about you, but for me, that's a game changer. Now, I could tell you story after story where, you know, in one situation I faced, you know, in a foreign land, I faced being shot. And I was standing there, and the only thing that came to me was Clint Eastwood's movie famous line, make my day. Because I knew to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I was like, I can't believe I just thought that. You get what I'm saying? But I had such peace. Why? Because of the Christ in me. And God reassured me. He says, it's not your time yet, bud. You got a wife at home that's pregnant. You know, you got stuff to do. It's all going to be okay. So I just said, okay. And it all was okay. Amen. That's a story for another day. But here's my point in bringing up Christ always existing. This particular encounter with this man is known as a pre-incarnate Christ. In other words, it was Jesus showing up. Now, again, I'm not going to get into the theology of it other than to tell you this. When you go to the book of Revelations, Jesus is called the commander of the army of the hosts, all right? It's the same verbiage, the same words exactly here that we see in the text. So this is a pre-incarnate Jesus shows up on the scene. Now, what I want you to see is his reaction to Joshua. Joshua says, are you for me or for my adversaries? And what's the answer? No. What kind of an answer is that? No. And then here's what he says. But as the commander of the armies, I have come. And then what happens next? Joshua hits the deck in worship. And let me tell you, there's no place in Scripture that angels are worshipped. There's no place in Scripture where mankind is. You see that this man, capital M, doesn't say, don't worship me. Can I tell you who it was? It was Jesus showing up on the scene. But there's some life lessons that you and I can learn from this. First of all, Joshua is saying, are you for me or for my enemies? Here's what Joshua is saying. Are you going to support me or are you going to be against me? And what was the Lord's answer? No. No. I think at first it's a stupid answer. It doesn't really answer. You know, what does that mean? No. Let me tell you what it means. It means I'm not supporting your enemy or you, but as the commander of the Lord, I've come. You need to support me. Amen. See, it's a turnaround. Can I tell you that you and I have predisposed ideas about God? Now, I'm gonna touch on a very sensitive issue right now. Very, very sensitive issue. So promise me you won't stone me until I finish. If you still want to stone me after, fine, but hear me out. That's all I ask, okay? Within this room, we have people who are supporters of the Democratic Party. We have people who are supporters of the Republican Party. And we probably have some people that say, I don't care about any of them. So you got three people groups here, all right? Now, isn't it amazing that we can all sit in the same room and be cordial together and talk about Jesus? But I've heard it often said, don't talk about religion and politics, right? That's the touchy areas. But here's why I bring this up. If we look, for example, let's look at the Democratic Party. One of their strong stances is social justice. In other words, making sure that people are treated fairly, people in need are helped. That's admirable, isn't it? And you can find lots of scripture to support that. Lots of scripture where Jesus treats everyone equally. You find lots of scripture. Now let's go to the side of the Republicans for a minute. You know, they're mandating, again, I'm not giving all the negatives and positives, but just some thoughts on it, all right? Where the Republicans, they're more for, you know, be your own man, you know, you can be strong, you know, people who are weak need to just get their life together a little bit, you know, and the idea is that their philosophy is kind of get going. And you can find lots of scripture to support that as well. Lots of scripture. So here's my question for you today. If Jesus was walking here right now, would he be a voting Democrat or a voting Republican?
No.
No. But as a commander of the army of the host, I'm here. And this is a problem that you and I have. Here's why. We try to put God in our box. In other words, if we think like Democrats do, we think, Jesus, you're going to be like one of us. If you're a Republican, no, you're one of us. You see what I'm saying? And that's a problem. Because when we come with predisposed thing, when we come with pre-thinking of how God should work or do things, we have a serious problem. Because he's not signing up to what we're doing. We're supposed to sign up to what he's doing. This is really, really important. Because if your prayer life is, God, this is the way I want this. This is the way I expect it to be. You know what his answer might be? No! But as commander of the army of the host, this is what I say. And we have to come to a place as Joshua did on his knees. You see, before Joshua could even face the enemy, it began on his knees. It began in understanding that he was a servant and that God is over all and that God has a plan for our lives that's better than our preconceived ideas, better than the boxes that we try to put God in. See, if you box God up, all you're going to get is a box of God. It's not going to help you. But if you're willing to open your heart and let Jesus be Jesus in your life, he will take you places you can never imagine. The question is, are you willing to do that today? You see, if you want to defeat the enemies in your life, it begins on your knees. It begins in prayer. It begins with seeking his face with an open heart. Now, it's interesting. God didn't really rebuke Joshua. He corrected him, didn't he? And so I'm not saying that your prayers have to be exactly perfect when you go before your king, but you need to be open to his answer when he corrects you. You know, it's easy to try to get things done your way. How many people like to do things their own way? My hand's up. I think I had a better sermon than what I'm telling you right now. I did. I had it all in order. It was all really nice and packaged. But you know what God said? I don't want to be in that box today. I don't want to be in that box. I just want you to share what I've told you. And so I have to do that mandate because that's the only thing that will change your life and mine is what Jesus says to us, not what someone says. You know, I listened to one of the Christian radio stations and the person's going, you know, on and on and on. And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? It's just a bunch of words. Just a bunch of words. And I've come to a place now where when I speak or when others speak, I just want to hear what Jesus is saying. Because that's all that matters, or it's just a bunch of words. And so, let's come to a place today of being on our knees before our Lord. Let's stand together. We're going to pray. Now again, in my perfect world, I wanted us to be already beating up enemies. In fact, I have two pictures, if we could put them up. I have one picture, I call it the action movie scenario. Now, when we deal with enemies in our lives, this is how some of us think. Just go beat the tar out of them. You know, it's like an action movie, right? The bad guy beats up the good guy, so what does the good guy do? He goes, gets more guns or more people, and they go back and beat up the bad guys, and in a good movie, the good guys win, the bad guys are all dead, right? That's how it is. And I call it action movie scenario. That's how we are. Then there's another group of people, and I call them the pacifist group. Now, here's what they do. They sit like this, and they're like, oh, God, you are in control. You know what's best, and you'll make it all work, and I don't really have to do anything but just wait for you. Can I tell you that both answers are no? Both answers are no. God has a plan for every given situation. And for you to defeat your enemies, it begins on your knees. Begins on your knees. Just with every head bowed right now. Lord, there are people here from all different persuasions of life, Lord God. You know, from people who are pacifists in nature or to the action movie nature, Lord, and everywhere in between. But here's the bottom line. We all come with preconceived ideas. We want to put you in a box. We want you to be for us or against us. We just want to know whether you've signed up in our plans. But Lord God, that's not the way to think. For us to defeat the enemy so we can possess the promises, we have to surrender to you. And so just with every head bowed, if you're in that place, and listen, I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation is the beginning of the path. But if you're in a place where you'd like to surrender to His will, see, that's another level. Just put your hand up in the air. That's all I'm going to ask you to do, is put your hand up in the air. I see those hands just going up all through the sanctuary here. Lord, I thank you for hands up. And in a sense, they're saying, Lord, I give up. I surrender. And so, Lord, you see those hands raised and you see those hearts raised to you. Lord, I thank you that just as Joshua submitted to you that day thousands of years ago, we submit to you now. For Lord, we want to take territory for you. We want you to be glorified in and through our lives. We don't want the fears that are in our lives to hold us back any longer from the promises you have for us. So Lord, we know now that it begins on our knees. And so Lord, we lift up every single person to you right now. Lord, that this week is going to be a different week. That as the enemies are revealed in our lives, that instead of us verbally attacking or physically attacking or even thinking about them, that we would think to you, that we would turn to you, that you would give us a plan, a strategy to defeat the enemies in our lives. So Lord, I thank you for every person here. I speak a blessing upon them that as they go forth from here, they go out as servants of the King with the angel armies following behind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.